What's up, y'all? Welcome to the Perfect Reps Podcast. I hope that you guys can gain some value from listening in. My whole purpose is to shed light on different aspects of life, different topics, and different individuals that have overcome adversity and, you know, can share their story and hopefully encourage our listeners to, you know, step into your own greatness and just be who you are and be happy about that, you know, truthfully happy about that. So, hope you guys enjoy what you're about to hear. Hey, keep it going. Appreciate it.
Big Dustin.
What it do? What it do?
What's good, bro?
Man, so, you know, we got my boy, my family, Zaire Andre, on here today for today's episode. He's a college student athlete, played wide receiver at the University of he started off at Washington State University. He went to junior college at El Camino, and then he transferred to University of Incarnate Word in San Antonio. You know, he had a nice little journey, right out of Englewood High School. You know, like we all pray and hope for is to get that offer right out of high school and be able to go straight to the university. You know, he was blessed with that opportunity, but through that, I mean, he had his own adversity, but was, able to flourish. So, you know, Zaire, you know, let me not gas you up too much. Let me go ahead and let you tell your story. so you know, let the listeners know, like, you know, go ahead and, you know, kind of just touch on your background and your journey up to where you are today.
Yes, sir. So, like you said, man, it all started at Englewood High School. You know, before that, it was actually, you know, Crenshaw High School, but it really started from Englewood Jets, you know, so. Gotta give all props due to everybody, you know. So started off at Englewood Jets, and you know, my whole deal, man, growing up playing football, I already knew, like, you know, that's what I wanted to do. Like, I wanted to go play college football. I wanted to be able to go get a scholarship, but I also knew that it took a lot of work, you know.
Right.
So, always throughout my whole little process, I always knew, like, work will find its way, you know, to get me where I need to go. You know, so I'm just like saying, like, I started off at Crenshaw High, you know, and like things were going good at Crenshaw High. You know, I was doing good playing football. I got to be on varsity for both sports, football and basketball. But it was right. it was just something in me, like, that's saying, like, man, this is not my calling, you know, like, I need to go back home to Englewood and play with my team, you know, to be able to get where I want to go. Because obviously everybody know before Crenshaw, it was the DeAnthony Thomases and stuff. And that was that limelight right there. And DeAnthony Thomas being Crenshaw, he played for Crenshaw Bears. So I kind of wanted to do the same thing with myself. You know, I played Englewood Jets. I would like to go get it done out of Englewood High School, you know. So that's where I went to Englewood High School, you know. Going to Englewood High School, it was always kind of like, it was good for me, like I said, because Englewood Jets, the program, they was right by each other, you know. So it was always like I was well known throughout my city and stuff like that. So that helped me a lot. That support always helped me because I feel like people knew exactly what I wanted to do. And they knew I was going to be able to get there. They believed in me. So, you know, going from Englewood High School, I had a lot of offers, like you said. And Washington State, you know, Washington State came around. That was a Pac-12 school. I was real big on Washington State just because I had a coach by the name of Dennis Simmons, man. He was also going to be my position coach, offensive coordinator, all that, you know. So he's a good dude. Yeah. Yes, sir.
When you were, not to cut you off, but when you was in high school, so you play receiver at the next level.
Yeah.
But when you were in high school, what position did you play? And what would you say you feel was kind of the main focus into your recruitment, like in terms of your ability and position-wise?
I would pretty much say pretty much like an athlete wise. You know, in high school, I played kick return and punt return as well as long as a receiver, you know, and that looked good on my tapes a lot, you know, kick returning and punt returning. That kind of showed my athleticism and stuff like that. So, like, I feel like schools are looking at me like, you know, he's an athletic person. We want to mold him into this receiver position because, honestly, in high school, at the receiver position, like, I really didn't go through too much. I was always a quarterback and stuff like that, quarterback and a running back. So just being a quarterback, it developed me into the game. And, you know, I got to learn the game, learn from every aspect of the game, you know, learn what people going to be, stuff like that, you know. So, like, quarterback helped me a lot into transferring to receiver. You know, receiver was a position that I ended up having to play because I just got realistic to it, man. Like, I just thought about, like, I need to play receiver because obviously, like, in this today's game, black quarterbacks, you know, ain't too many of them. And,
right.
I mean, we opening up now, but, like, we got to look back. Like, it wasn't really too many black quarterbacks getting big-time scholarship offers, you know, or anything in that state. So I just wanted to always make it realistic and put myself in the best position, you know. So playing receiver was where I need to be.
So then so now going back to where you left off in your story, talk about Washington State and kind of what intrigued you about that offer. Because like you said, you had plenty other offers to choose from. But, you know, I would assume, you know, being from the West Coast and, you know, getting that Pac-12 offer, what kind of made Washington State stand out for you?
No, Washington State, they standed out for me first and foremost just because at the time, they threw the ball more than any team almost in Division I college, you know. So I played receiver, and that stood out to me right away. You know, this is a throwing team, throw heavy, pass first team, you know, barely run the ball a little bit. So I feel like I said, that worked in my best favor. So I always wanted to put myself in the position where I was in the best favor. So, and also going to Washington State, you know, Washington State at the time, we had, like I said, Coach Demon Simmons, he was getting us all out of L.A. You know, we had kids from Dorsey, we had this from Cathedral, Inglewood, Venice, everywhere, you know. So it was kind of like a second home when I went down there my official visit. I kind of felt the L.A. vibe, you know, so I was just like, man, this got to be home. And I actually committed early, so that was big for me, too. Committing early, it was just like I wanted to secure that spot, you know. Going into my senior year, I didn't have a quarterback at all. I ended up having to play quarterback. And I just wasn't really all the way sure about how, like, offers go, you know. I had heard in the meantime, like, you know, some kids get their offers pulled just because they didn't develop the season that they thought they was going to get, you know. So I was just like, man, I need to secure this spot and just do whatever I do to help my team win my senior year of high school.
So, okay, you end up having to play some quarterback. And if I'm not mistaken, you still was back there returning kicks and all that, too, even while you was playing quarterback. And, you know, you were kind of that Swiss Army Knife type of player for your team, kind of doing a little bit of everything. And, you know, were able to maintain your scholarship at Washington State. And so tell me about making that transition from being in the city and then, you know, actually going ahead and leaving for that first year of college. How was that transition? What type of emotions did you feel? Were you nervous? Were you ready? Especially being somebody that, you know, you a LA baby, straight up, you know what I'm saying? So being able to have that moment to where you get into the next level, you stepping into your dream, how was that for you?
Man, it was big. It was big. It was big. I look back now, I think about actually what you said. It was real big because, you know, going away from home, I kind of had the idea, you know, like going into my official visit. Of course, when I had my official visit, it was kind of like all good times, you know. They showing us the facilities, showing us all the good food around town, all the good vibes and stuff like that. So I was kind of like, man, this is where I'm going to be in college. I, you know, get to be away from home, be away from your parents and all that, you know, just that grinding. Freedom. The freedom, yeah, real life freedom. So it was like, that's a kind of a balance that you have to go. Like, and I would tell all the young dudes, you know, you got to learn how to balance that before, like, kind of set a program beforehand, you know, about what you're going to be doing. Because, like, honestly, I'm going to say, like, when I was going to, coming from high school straight into Washington State, you know, coming from a public school, public high school like that, Inglewood High School, we know we didn't even have a weight room or a consistent weight room, a practice field, any of that. You know, we just get it how we could get it, you know, make it work how we could make it work. So that's always been my mindset, you know, and going into Washington State, obviously, you know, with top-notch facilities and everything, a lot of stuff is going to be different, you know. And when I say different, I mean, like, just the workout mentality, you know. You waking up at 6 o'clock in the morning, and that's just when practice starts, you know. So, obviously, you're waking up a little before that to get your breakfast and get your mind right, you know. So, it's a whole different ballgame for sure that a lot of seniors in high school are not used to if they don't know about it. So, you know, I would like to tell all the young dudes, you know, that's going Division One, to prepare yourself for that, because it's not just Division One football. It's not just Saturday we got a football game and it's going to be 20,000 plus people in the stadium, you know. It's not going to be people just wearing your jersey all the time. It's more than college football. And honestly, I wasn't really all the way prepared for that, I could say, just because I didn't come from one of them schools that we did that and grinded all year and out with your team year and out. I was more of a dude that, like, I grinded on my own, you know, 7-on-7, stuff like that, little private workouts and stuff like that. Right. So it's definitely a bigger stepping stone for real. But it's
go ahead.
It's just something that you just got to prepare for, you know.
And you know, I mean, especially with, I mean, back when you was in high school, I mean, Bosco wasn't what they are today. I mean, of course, you had modern day, you know, they were doing their thing at the time. Orton Lutheran was doing their thing. Like you said, Crenshaw, Narbonne, you know, those were kind of, and those being, you know, inner city schools, those were kind of the that was the kind of vibe in the schools that were getting the publicity at the time. So being, and then, you know, us being from LA and seeing how high school football has transitioned into to where the major buzz is right now, especially for these kids, everybody gassing themselves on social media and you know, in a sense kind of begging and reaching for offers from coaches just to say that they got offers. You know, I think at the time that, you know, even though you came after me, it was still kind of that final era in which where, like, an offer was really gold, you know what I'm saying? It was really the fact that, like, dang, this school really want me, you know what I'm saying? So once you and then once you got to Washington State, I mean, you know, I know a little piece of what you went through while you was there, especially as a freshman having to make that transition. But once you got out there, what would you say on the field was kind of maybe the biggest thing you had to adjust to? Because, I mean, you go into the situation at the time, you was, I want to say, maybe 6 foot, a buck 75, buck 80. And, you know, you had seniors there. You had guys that was there that, you know, transitioned to the league, you know, those upperclassmen guys and stuff like that. What would you say was the biggest thing you had to adjust to just as an athlete being out there?
Man, like you said, like, I was playing when I went to high school. When I out of high school, you know, I was a man, you know, so it's kind of like everything was good, you know. Even I had to work for it, I was still the man I was looking at, you know. But going into Washington State, it was all different, you know. It was I was introduced to, like, you know, favoritism and coaches having their favorites. But that's okay, because if that's their guy, then he has every right to be their favorite. And just goes by saying that, like, I had a lot of seniors in front of me, and unfortunately. And fortunately, you know, these seniors were all NFL caliber receivers, you know. So at first it was kind of like real, like, man, like, I know that these are their guys, that they're senior receivers. Like, there's no way a freshman.
But it's a little discouraging, though. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It's a little discouraging because, you know, you're like, you're not, you want to obviously compete with them, but you got to be realistic at the same time. Like, these dudes are already having NFL scouts calling them, talking about them, seeing how they want to get there. And, you know, so it's like, all they got to do is finish their senior season, put up some good numbers, and they're going to get a shot, you know. So it's like, that's already set in stone. So it's like, you're dealing with coaches, like, kind of like pushing you to the side, like, you know, you're going to get your shine, you're going to get your turn coming up, you know, so just wait the process. And that's always been a little problem with me, just waiting my process. Patience has always been a little problem because
right.
I always said I wanted it now. And if I couldn't get it now, I got to work to get it now, you know. So I always feel like if I could work for it, I should have been playing, you know. So
right.
It took some time. It took some time to get into me. But like I said, going into Washington State, I had Gabe Marks. I had Don Williams. I had Vince Maley. I had all of these guys in front of me that are all NFL receivers today, you know. So right. It's kind of like I grew into me as them to be like big brothers, and I always like I got a mindset of my own. Like, man, I just feel like I'm better than you, you know. Like when we got a game, I'm gonna feel like I'm better than you, no matter what the situation is. I feel like I'm better than you. But obviously, you know, these guys have been there longer in the program, longer with the coaches and everything. So I kind of like, I took that and ran with it. I took that and start, you know, learning from these guys, getting their ways, hanging around them, you know, staying after practice with these guys and stuff like that. And things were going good, you know? So
right.
Everything was going good. Went through spring ball, even a fall camp, you know? And I was getting better along with the team. Like, quarterbacks were picking me on their number one choice, you know? Everything was going good. I was going with the ones, everything. But it just wasn't right. It just wasn't right because I feel like I was still in the same position. I feel like when the season came, the seniors was going to play, and that's what the coaches was making it out to be. So I knew Washington State, at the back of my mind, it wasn't going to be right for me. I kind of had this little sick feeling in my stomach, like, man, I don't want to just be here. And I'm just playing just because I'm at a Division I school and it's okay. Like,
right.
Obviously, I want to play. Yeah, I want to play and be able to show everybody my talent, you know? Just don't want to be in somebody's back pocket. So, like, Washington State was hard for me just because I wasn't patient.
And I recall, you know, a conversation we had. I want to say that was back in 2015. When I think that's really when all the frustration kind of built up going into your just kind of finishing up or in the midst of your sophomore fall camp.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, you know, the quarterbacks was rocking with you. You getting the ball in practice. You exposing dudes in one-on-ones. You know, you had added some tools to your tool belt and whatnot, but you know, you just kind of weren't getting the opportunities that, you know, you felt you got deserved after putting all that work in, you know, as a freshman and then even in the spring, too.
Yeah.
And so, like you said, you know, just kind of that impatience. But, I mean, that frustration is real, though. You know, just when you feel like you seeing dudes, granted, yeah, they may be upperclassmen, but it's like I'm putting this work in, you know, like you – these quarterbacks are asking for me. I'm staying out to practice. You know, I know the playbook. You know, I know what I'm supposed to do. And but you still aren't reaping the benefits of the work that you put in. So that's where that frustration lies in.
Exactly.
So that ultimately you made the decision to leave. And, you know, just recalling from our conversation, that was tough for you.
Man.
And, you know, I was able to relate to that because you know, I ultimately decided to transfer from schools too, you know, right after I graduated, actually. So, you know, I kind of understood your frustration in that sense as well, and kind of was able to, you know, just kind of give you a piece of what I experienced. And then, you know, ultimately, you know, you got to do what's best for you, you know, because at the end of the day, you could chop it up with individuals about what they did, how they went about a situation, but in reality, how they went about it might not be what's best for you. And because you know, anytime you talk to somebody, your situation is your situation. You know what I'm saying?
Exactly.
And I feel that we reach out to people we trust in, just to kind of gain some sort of clarity on, you know, the what ifs. So you ultimately decided to transfer from Washington State, and you know, you kind of got some assistance from your position coach in terms of that, right? In terms of you being able to transfer and kind of confide in him that you did want to transfer, and so you ended up going to Stetson in New York. You that was where you ultimately decided to go. So you came home for a small period of time, and you know, was kind of working through your own frustrations, leaving school, coming back home, not really knowing where you was gonna be next. So you go across the country from one end to another end. You go to New York to Stetson University, which is a
Wagner.
There we go, Wagner. You went to Wagner in New York. So tell me about that experience, having to basically deciding to transfer, and then stepping into that situation where, in my opinion, you know, being that you're a D1 caliber talent, transitioning to D1AA, how did you feel mentally just getting there and seeing it as that? Like, you know, I'm a D1 guy, you know what I'm saying? And I kind of, I don't want to say took a step down, but in a sense, I decided to go to another level where I would assume in your mind, you like, I'm really going to get out here and show them, you know, what I'm worth, you know what I'm saying? And so if I'm not mistaken, you transferred and you began there in the spring. So you kind of got in there during spring ball. What was that like?
You know, going in there, it was cool because Wagner was able to give me a second chance. You know, when I left Washington State, you know, I wasn't really quite sure. Like, I was hitting schools up that I was thinking at the time that I was going to be able to go straight to. You know, when I got my release, I hit some schools up, and I kind of got a little stop when I wasn't able to get released to certain schools because of, you know, my eligibility, and we ended up playing them in the rest of my eligibility year. So obviously Washington State wasn't trying to release me to certain schools. So that was a big problem for me. So Wagner came in clutch with a save. You know, I ended up getting a call from somebody, a coach from Wagner, telling about he wanted to take me on an official visit. And after official visit, I kind of signed, you know. I went on to the official visit just to get a picture of the school, you know, see what it's like and stuff like that. It was just a home. It was a second home for me. You know, all I really needed was the football field and the Division I school. That's all I was just thinking about at the time. You know, like, man, this is another opportunity for me just to do what I want to do, play football, get an education, get a degree. It seems right to me, you know. So obviously going through Wagner, it was a lot different because, you know, it's two different types of football. I feel like that East Coast, West Coast, the South, you know, it's different. You know, different in Wagner, it was snowing every day. And I'm talking about this snow, coaches canceling practice, you know. So it's like, I got out there thinking we're going to play football, and we wasn't really playing football because it was so bad of weather, you know. So it's just like meetings, weight room, meetings. So it kind of got discouraging again. It's like, man, I left a big school to come here, you know, and JUCO was always in the back of my mind. Junior college was always in the back of my mind. But, like, you know, like you said, I was a Division I talent, D1 caliber athlete. Like, I never thought about going to El Camino College, you know, in high school. Right. You know, I never thought that was where I would be at, you know. So it was kind of like, it was a real humbling experience because it took me back to when I was at Inglewood High School, when I was at Crenshaw High School, leaving to Inglewood High School, because it took me to, like, man, I got to go get it. If I want it, I got to go get it. Ain't nobody finna give it to me, you know. Like, I know where I want to be, so go get it. So at Wagner, you know, we didn't have a quarterback, you know, so it started to get unrealistic for me, you know. Like, man, this isn't where I need to be, you know. So automatically, I went to junior college, you know, El Camino College. El Camino College, and got to get coached by Gifford Lindheim, you know. And it was a good opportunity because, honestly, one of my uncles, Shea Fields, you know, he was another dude that I was getting some information back when I was leaving schools, you know. I wanted to see what his input was on things and stuff like that. So he actually told me, you know, Gifford coached him while he was in junior college. So it was kind of like, man, this dude coached my uncle. So it's like, I know he's going to have some type of relationship, like, where he not going to do me wrong, you know? Like, and that's where I needed to be. Like, I needed to be where, at a school where I was going to be able to get what I wanted to do. I knew what I had to do. I had to get my AA and get some film under my belt. So that's all. Right. That was my big goal. Like, man, I'm going to go to junior college, get some film under my belt, and hit some coaches, and see what it do. But honestly, going to junior college, you know, there's always going to be problems in between, you know. Washington State, I had stipends. I was living good, eating good, you know. So it's kind of like, man, I was set. But now I'm at a junior college where I ain't getting no stipend. I'm actually having to pay for classes without a job, finding money to eat. You know, KFC Famous Bowls was big around then, around that time. So I was just knocking anything down that I could eat, you know. So it's kind of like it was the struggle, you know. JUCO was definitely the struggle, but JUCO was able to test me, man. And a lot of times I used to go through it like, man, I'm doing all this because I really want it, you know. So it was like,
right. So in the midst of all this, and you know, I know the fam. So what was it like for your parents to kind of see you, especially your pops, who kind of, you know, he was there with you on the visits, you know what I'm saying? He was kind of that, I would say that direct line of influence for you in terms of like, you know, going with you on his visits, you know, making sure you get into school, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Driving you to Washington and stuff like that. How was it for them with you, you know, kind of, you know, in a parental mindset, kind of being indecisive about your next move and going from school to school and then ultimately saying, I'm about to move back home for this period of time and go to Elko. How was it for them, and how was that kind of like a stressor on you, kind of having that pressure to show them like, I'm still motivated to get my schoolwork done, and you know, I'm still focused on excelling on the field as well. How was that?
Man, looking back on it, like, I kind of like, it was rough, man, real rough. But looking back on it, I understand, you know, because growing up playing sports, you know, I always had that support from my mom and dad, you know. But I look back at it, also, I was real good at these sports, you know. So, like, I look at the situation like a lot of parents would support their kids. They real good, you know, in sports like that, football and basketball.
Right.
Yeah, I'm going to be at every game. I'm going to have your jersey. I'm going to be cheering for you every touchdown you make, every three-pointer you make, you know. So, like, that was good. I always had that support from my mom and my dad, you know, playing sports, high school to college, you know. And even in high school, when I left Crenshaw, you know, I always had that support from my pops, you know. I'm going to be with you, you know. Everything going to be good. Left Washington State, you know. Everything going to be good. I'm going to be there with you. I'm going to support you, you know. So knowing that I had that support also helped me be able to make the choices that I made, you know, because I was like, man, all I need is my parents' approval, my parents' love, you know. If they're going to support me, then
right.
I'm going to go hard, you know, so that's all that matters. But, you know, after time going around, you know, I left Washington State. Then, like we just mentioned earlier, I left another D1 right after that, you know, so I left two schools back to back, man. We got to take it realistic. Like, I just left two full scholarships. I don't know how much it's so much money of tuition, like loans kids is taking out for themselves,
right.
and putting themselves in a financial problem, you know, that I just basically, in my parents' eyes, kind of like threw away, you know. But
right. But
obviously that wasn't my idea, you know. I always kind of had my end goal, like, man, I'm gonna make it. I'm gonna be good. Like, if I got your support, we good, you know. Like, I know what I gotta do. I did it, and I'm gonna do it again, you know. So it's like me knowing that it kind of like I was good, you know. But from my parents' perspective, I felt like kind of like, man, they kind of like got unsure what my motive was, you know. Like, did I just want to go to these schools just to have fun and, you know, just I'm leaving schools. Do I even really want to get my college education? Like. But honestly,
they was trying to figure out really where your head was at.
Where my head was at, and I can understand that at the time. But like, obviously, you know, I was the first in my family to like play football, and, you know, play any sports, a Division I sports. So like, I'm going through this my first time seeing it for myself. You know, all my end goal was the NFL. You know, like, I want to be in the best position where I could be to get to the NFL. And obviously, that's not going to be sitting behind this senior that's, you know, about to go to the NFL, or being in this East Coast where it's snowing every day and coach canceling practice, and I play receiver, so we need to throw the ball.
Right.
So obviously this not gonna be a good spot for me, you know. So like, it was like, man, I kind of had to figure out everything on my own because I was actually hands-on there, you know, after college. My pops, all they see is like, you at a Division I school, you getting tuition, you getting stipends, all that. Why leave this, you know? So it's like, we was on two different pages of why I'm leaving school, you know, because it was awkward because I feel like at one point he started to like think like, man, is this really what he want to do? Like, he really tricking all this off, you know? But in my head, it's like, damn, you know, like, nah, I'm gonna get it done. All I need is your support, like you said you had from the jump, you know? So like, man, it was kind of like, it was going back and forth because I was able to see, like, my parents getting like, damn, like, is he gonna go back to school? Because obviously we already know what it is, like, if you're not gonna go to school in LA, you know, I just threw away all these scholarships to go get a regular job, right, you know, or let's say not get a job, be in the streets back home. So I feel like that was always like a problem to my parents, but like to me, I didn't understand it because it was like, I'm going to junior college, I'm catching the bus to go to class, I'm saving up money so I could pay for my own classes, you know. All I needed was that support, you know, and it was good because, you know, mom's held it down, pops held it down as much as he could, but I understand that he was getting a little discouraging for him, like, man, my son just threw away all this talent for nothing. Everything we did, it was for nothing. Going to camps, you know, going to these 7-on-7s, me supporting him financially, or all his little sports and stuff, it's all for nothing because he just threw it away. But at the end of the day, I wasn't throwing it away. You know, I was just trying to make the best position for myself. Like,
exactly.
And that's what I did, and I had no regrets of that. But yeah, man, going through junior college, it was big, man, because like you said, like, I was going through all of this with my pops and my moms, you know. I ended up moving out of my house, you know, during the time with junior college because it wasn't really helpful for me, because it wasn't healthy for me because, like, I always took it in a sense like, man, pops, moms, I'm doing this shit for y'all, you know, like, I want to be able to get y'all out this situation. So once I was feeling the support going down, you know, it was kind of like making me go down, because it's like, I'm doing this for y'all and y'all don't believe that this is what I'm gonna do, get done, then why should I even do it, you know? Like, maybe I should just go be a regular Joe. But being a regular Joe was never, like, that was just, there's too much fight in me to let that go, you know? Like, so I'm just like, man, I gotta leave the house, you know, and get what I need to get done, and everything gonna be good again, you know. I'm gonna get this AA, I'm gonna get a full ride scholarship back to a Division I school, and let's get it going after that point. And man, when that day came, when I got the Division I scholarship again, it was just like, man, I didn't really care
where was that,
where it was
right,
yeah, I didn't care where it was from, man. Like, I just knew, like, this was my third school, and I gotta get it done this time. And yeah, and I messed up already, so it's like, man, this is just another blessing, because I'm supposed to be here, you know what I'm saying? So it's like, it was real big for me, man. I remember it the day, like, Coach Kyle Kenny, dude, got me from UIW, he came into my house, and, like, I could see that belief in him, you know what I'm saying? I could see him believing in me, and him wanting to give me a chance, and him just not bringing me to his school, you know, just because of another number, you know, like, I feel like that man really gave me another chance, and still talk to Coach Kenny this day, man, about that. So that's pretty good right there.
And so, and you know, it's definitely a blessing to see, like, the battle through adversity. And even when you felt like there was doubt kind of coming from in the home, you know, you ultimately made that decision to get out the crib, man. And even then, I mean, they was at the games, you know what I'm saying? They were still going, supporting you. But, of course, you felt that there had been a little separation within that support. But, and then even after you finished up your time at Elko, you know, that offer from Incarnate Word came kind of later than you had expected. I mean, especially, you know, like you said, you coming from a Division I program, and then coming from a high profile JUCO program at Elko, where you started, you know what I'm saying? You were the go-to guy for your quarterback there. And then, you know,
the offers weren't just coming in as rapidly as it had probably while you was in high school. So once you did decide to go ahead and rock with Incarnate Word, were there any other schools that you were considering too, or was it kind of just, you know, just conversations that would die down from schools and no firm offer would come? What was that like? Because I know, you know, you, like you said, you was kind of like, man, whoever shoot they shot, you know, I'm gonna just take this bite. So what was it like? Did you have other options at that time, or was Incarnate Word kind of the one that stood out the most to you?
Yeah, it's crazy because like I did have a lot of conversation that came in, and you know, one of my transcripts and all that, and conversations kind of like died down. You know, that's how things go. You know, and I was aware that, you know, JUCO receivers versus a high school receiver. I got 4 years with this high school receiver versus 2 years in my situation with this JUCO guy, you know. So I kind of like, I was always being realistic, like, man, college is gonna want this high school kid before a JUCO guy, just period, you know. And it's crazy because, like, I did, it all came down to this class, man. I ended up getting an offer also from Kansas State right before University of Cardinal Word. But during the time, I was taking the statistics class. And this statistics class, man, was a beast. It was giving me problems and stuff like that. I actually took the class 3 times, you know. So I believe that statistics class was another thing that was able to, like, you know, see if I really wanted it. You know, it was another thing that was testing me. Like, I feel like that was all with God. You know, God was saying, like, man, you know, anybody could go out there and go work out, go train and get it how you want to get it, and grind and grind and grind. But like, are you gonna do the things that you're not wanting to do? Like, are you gonna do the things that you're not comfortable with? Like, I feel like God was sent me this sign. Like, he was showing me, like, I know this isn't your strong point, but
what you gonna do to get what you know, want?
Exactly, what you gonna do to what you, get what you want to want? So like, statistics, that was where it was at, man. I was like, I was giving me problems. I was staying up nights, long nights, making flashcards, you know, making notes. And I remember even, like, when it was one time when my pops even seen me, like, it was out of the ordinary, because my pops really never really seen me doing homework like that. Right. But like, this statistics class, I'm telling you, like, I'm up all night on his computer in his room, like, really just trying to, like, look at YouTube videos, all type of things, just to master the statistics. So I was able to see, like, man, my dad, seeing, like,
he really grinded.
He really grinded, you know. But it's like, he did all this to himself, you know. It could have been easier if he was just still up at Washington State, you know. Like, he wouldn't have to grind like this. So like, but I was definitely able to see that in me, like, man, my son a grinder, like, and he gonna go get it, you know. Like, so that he of course didn't say it at the time, but I know I read it off his face, you know. Like, I seen that. So like, man, that statistics class, I had to take down that statistics class. And UIW was actually one of the schools that was saying, like, man, we'll wait for you, you know, like, we'll wait for you, handle that, and then just come into fall camp. So like, that showed me that they believed in me, like, they really wanted me, they'll wait for me, you know. So like, they're not gonna just move on and get another guy, because obviously if I failed that class, they would have been that bad luck, because they would have missed out on a guy and not had another guy, you know. So I really wanted to thank UIW for that, because that was big for me.
So you go ahead and you knock that out. You get to UIW, and you know, now you go from, you done been to the West Coast, in Washington. You done been to New York. You done came back home. Now you in San Antonio, Texas. So now you a little bit older at the time. What was you, like, 21? At the time?
Yep, I was going to my 21 year, my 21 birthday that
so
summer.
So how was that now, going into a situation where, you know, you got a little bit of hair on your chest, you know, the tattoos done added some tattoos to the brand, you know, you a little heavier, you know, been through a little bit of struggle. What was it like now going into a situation where, you know, when you first got to the D1 level, you was a pup, you know what I'm saying? You was 17, 18 years old. Now you done had, you at your third stop, and you kind of the old head in the receiver room. How was that?
big homie on the scene.
For real, man.
That's exactly how I felt, though. Going into UIW, it was kind of like, man, I felt like myself like an old head in a situation, because it was like, man, I've been through a lot of stuff to get to this point. And it was stuff that I didn't even bring up, you know, but it was stuff that I was able to look and see how kids was acting. And, you know, freshmen that was at UIW, how they was acting and how, like, they was getting ready to mess up their whole chance, you know, mess up their whole opportunity. So going to UIW, like, I just left a Division I school, so I'm already a D1 bounce back. Right. I just went to a junior college and went to a D1, so I'm already a JUCO cat, you know what I'm saying? I'm labeled as. So it's like, I was able to see a lot of things already before that a lot of players and coaches at UIW haven't seen yet, you know? So it was like, it was also like that I kept in my back pocket. So just being humble, it's just like, I was just so grateful to be in another receiver coaching room. I was in a team room to go practices again. I was all grateful for that. And like, it was just like lovely for me. Cause like, I was remembering all the times, all the JUCO struggles and all the times how I felt right. when I left Washington State, like the regrets and all that. Like, it was just like I was taking everything in. Like, I'm just happy I could play football again and, you know, go to school. So I was just so grateful for everything, you know, like that's just really what it was. And I was able to like talk to a lot of dudes, you know, like going to UIW as a kid that reminded me a lot of like myself, like Marquise Lawson, by the way. And he was a kid that went to Crenshaw High School. And it was funny to me because I'm like, we all the way out here in Texas, and this dude from Crenshaw High School, I'm from Inglewood, you know, so it's like, let's see what this kid about. So going to see about him, you know, he was messing up in school, like he was homesick and stuff like that. And it was like, he just right. I want my way out. Like, I gotta leave. And I used to just listen to him, you know, and like tell him like, man, that's not what you want to do, bro. It's hard. Like, you could here, you know what I'm saying? This is a kid that didn't have a lot of FBS offers out of high school. So it's like, I'm already knowing how it's going to be for him once he leave this place. And, you know, like, how hard it's going to be for him to get back. So I'm obviously telling him, like, look, man, you just got to work on it, man. You just got to get everything better. Everything going to be all right. Right. Like, just get you right. Handle you right, girl. Back home is everything going home the same thing that how we left it, you know. But obviously he wasn't able to see this or understand all the way, because everybody got to you know, see it for themselves, you know. And that's the hard part about life. Like, everybody got to see about it themselves before they can believe anybody. So, you know, going to UIW, I was able to like be that big brother.
Right. Your role changed, and I mean, you know, you were dealing even with your own personal struggles. Was it at that time that, you know, back home, one of your best friends was in a situation and, you know, you kind of were dealing with that while you was away? You know, you were kind of, it was kind of indirect for you. And that was somebody, I mean, that was your boy, you know what I'm saying? Y'all was always together, you know what I mean? And that was something that you kind of had to deal with on your own while you was out there and facing that type of adversity, you know, stepping into your own right and getting your third opportunity to get back on the field and, you know, having matured through the whole process. How did that situation kind of affect you mentally and you kind of being away and not having control of really what was going down?
Yeah, and that was big right there. That was big because actually, man, like, you know, my best friend, I had flew him out to Washington with me at the time. You know, I had flew him out before he got shot to Washington because I was just able to see, like, man, he over here gang banging. He over here just hanging out, doing a lot of hanging out, like stuff that he don't really even like need to be doing, but he doing it just to be like. Right. Being a social crowd, being a pop, being a scene, being a limelight, you know, just because he wasn't blessed to go to school and stuff like that. So what else did he feel like? What else is there for him to do? But like, that's a lot of problems in our city, like our little environment. Like, kids don't, if they don't go, if they not want to be a D1 athlete, if they not going to be the next rapper, right. Then what else is it? it's robbing and killing, you know. So it's like I was able to see, like, man, that's the route he's going, man. So I was like, let me fly him down to Washington. You know, he ended up staying with me for about the last month as I was there, you know, staying with him, you know, just showing him different things, you know, different like that. He ended up going back home. So obviously I was transferred out of Washington State, you know, and a couple weeks in, he ended up getting shot in a little drive-by, ended up getting paralyzed, right. You know, so that was big. So I'm like, man, like, it was a lot of what ifs that came to my mind and stuff like that. But it was just like that's life, you know. That's what I was able to be realistic. Like, man, my uncle Anthony had came pulled up on me, and he told me, like, man, that's the life that he chose, you know. Like, he did all that, you know. Like, and it was, and I shouldn't right. have felt bad for it. Like, you know, it's nothing that I did everything I was able to do, you know. Like, I was able to be a good friend and stuff like that, show him different stuff. But like, he wanted to gang bang, so that's what he wanted to do, you know. So it was like it got like real for me, because it's like, man, like, damn, that's his life. Like, that I knew that wasn't really him, but like, just how you get on it in the streets, like, you know, like, just it could happen to anybody. And it was always like, I kind of thought about it like, damn, what if that was me, you know. Like, I'm like, so that was big for me, because I'm like, what if that was me? And I just threw everything away after Washington State, and I came home and just got shot and paralyzed, you know. Like, how would that have shaped my life, you know? How exactly. would my life have been after that? But like, It was always just like big for me that I was just thinking like that. And like I said, I was just always able to be grateful, man, because like, I know God got a way for me, and you know, God always there for me, you know. Like, I pray like to be in the right place at the right time, and I honestly believe that God put me in the right place at the right time. So like, it was just always grateful. It was always a grateful thing, and I was just like, it was tough for sure, man. It was
yeah,
tough,
man. I mean, you know, anything like that where, you know, it's out of your control and it's somebody close to you, that always kind of weigh on you more, especially as you reflect on what's going on in your life and how separate you are from being in that space in comparison to where you at. And then you look at the life of your friend and how they moving and how, you know, they still there, they still in the city, you know what I'm saying? And just knowing what could really go down. Mm-hmm. It's tough. I mean, it's kind of something that we have to deal with, and low key have come desensitized to, being that we grew up in LA, and I mean, we both experienced, you know, teammates and friends that have been involved in and gang violence and stuff like that. But being that we grew up in it, it's kind of like the norm, so to speak. You know what I mean? But so you end up making your way and getting back on the field at Incarnate Word. Your first year there, you know, you had a solid year. You know, you stepped in, made some big catches. You know, kind of became, you know, a safety net for your quarterback at the time, making third down catches and even returning some punts and doing kick return and stuff like that. But then another piece of adversity came when they had a new staff come in. How was that? How did that affect you? And you know, was that another period of time where you kind of felt like you were considering leaving again? Or how did you approach that situation, being that, you know, so many things were looking up for you, and then all of a sudden the whole staff changed, and now it's like, these dudes, these new coaches that come in, they might not even like me. You know, they might not even consider me in the way that the staff that recruited me did.
Well, yeah, that was big too, man, because going into Incarnate Word, you know, my first year at Incarnate Word, this was a new program, a Division I program that just got started, you know, so they were still setting everything for their program, still getting started, you know, everything, building the program still, basically, you know. So obviously, I didn't know that. I was just grateful, like I said, to be in another Division I full scholarship, able to get my degree somewhere, you know. So that's what I was grateful for. So, you know, my first year, like you said, at UIW, I had a good year, you know, but we didn't have a good season. So that's just what it was. Like, we didn't have a good season, and they didn't have good seasons prior to this. So
the coaching staff ended up getting, Larry Kenny was the coaching staff. He was more of like a, he was an older guy. He was a Super Bowl cat. You know, he coached in the NFL. His son, Kyle Kenny, was the offensive coordinator and stuff like that. So it was like a real, real close coaching staff, you know, like a family coaching right. staff type of deal. And it wasn't working for the school. Honestly, it just wasn't working. Like, dudes, like I said, weren't getting that respect to their coaches. Like, dudes was missing practice and stuff like that. And obviously, this cannot happen at right. a Division I program. But it was happening, you know. So it's like a coaching staff needed to change, you know. And we end up getting Eric Moores, a coach that came from Texas Tech. You know, he came from Texas Tech at the time. And it's funny because he was actually one of my Mike Leach's, like, understudies. You know, he was, like, he GA from Mike Leach before. And he got his offense from Mike Leach. Like, we end up was about to go into the air raid receivers. And, like, I'm thinking, like, man, yeah, this is perfect for me, bro. This is God right. calling. Like, I'm about to be in the air raid offense. Like, this what I needed. This what I wanted. It's go time. It's my senior year. I just showed everybody what I could do my junior year. I'm the leading receiver, leading touchdowns, everything. You know, my junior year, senior year come, like, new coaching staff come, let's go. Like, so everything happened for right. happened. You know, like, coaching staff came in, you know, air raid offense. They obviously gonna change the whole culture. They changing the whole culture. And it was funny because guys was like, getting weakening out, you know, like, they was, dudes was starting to quit. Dudes was doing a lot of crying, like, man, Coach Moore, Coach this, Coach that, you know what I'm saying? He be doing this, he be doing that, just doing a lot of crying. And I'm like, man, like, this is what it's going to take. I'm installing all the team, like, bro, this is what it's going to take. You know, like, we need this, like, just dial in, you know, we going to be good. Like, we doing all this hard work, it's going right. to pay off, trust me. It's going to pay off. Like, I'm telling all my team, like, all my teammates, dudes that end up starting to be captain for the team, you know, like, I'm telling them, like, bro, don't quit, you know what I'm saying? Like, we gonna be good. So we go through our little spring ball, and I'm seeing my coach, you know, he trying people, like, he making dudes not practice because their grades wasn't all the way there, or they ineligible, so they can't even see practice. They can't even go to anything. All they gotta do is come to the team meeting, and while we practicing, so he changing the whole culture, you know, at this point. Exactly, he changing the whole culture, and dudes is not understanding. But, like, me being coming from another Division I, all the things that I went through, I'm understanding this coach. I'm like, man, he about to change this thing around. You know, like, he making kids listen to him and look at him in a certain way. You know, like, they gotta respect this man. So it's going good for our program. So, like I said, spring ball, I'm the top receiver. I'm the leading receivers. We have our spring games. I'm scoring 2 to 3 touchdowns each scrimmage, you know, like, just showing out, basically, because I'm already knowing this program. I'm already knowing this playbook, so I'm ahead right. of everybody, basically, because this is just where I come from. We're running the air raid offense, the same offense that I was learning at Washington State, you know, and it was just real familiar for me. So I was real good, you know, going into fall camp, going into the season, these dudes telling me, like, man, we need you this year. Like, you finna be the guy. You finna help us win a lot of right. games, you know? So I'm like, yeah, man. Going into the senior season, I'm like, yeah, this is good. Like,
and at this point, you good. Still, like, I'm you know, gonna the NFL this. Is still attainable to you. Like, you still focus exactly. on that end goal, you know what I'm saying? Especially going into your senior year and coming off that great year you had as a junior, you know what I'm saying? Basically your redemption year, so to speak. So it's like, you know, all those pro goals are still in mind. All those pro dreams and admirations are still in mind. And now you're getting that encouragement from the staff, basically saying, like, we need you to be that same dude as you were last year.
Exactly. And this NFL is coming to life for me, you know, because, like, man, I'm taking a lot of things serious. You know, getting into summer, I'm putting on that extra weight so I could be able to be evaluated by NFL scouts. Not just, cause I already know I'm going to have a good senior season if you put me out there. I'm trying to take my body to the next level so I could be ready to get to the NFL, you know? So this is becoming real realistic for me. Like, I'm like, man, it's going. I'm going to the NFL right. now. Like, all I got to do is come out here and put up just the same season, if not better, you know? Like, I'm going to be good, you know? So I'm like, Yeah, I'm like, man, this is a blessing, you know. But unfortunately, you know, going into my senior year,
fuck him.
I don't know what happened. Like, it was just like, coach found out that I DM'd his girlfriend or something. I DM'd his wife. Like, it was just like a total change of like attitude. Like, I actually went home for summer. Like, we wasn't even working out. Like, we was just like all the guys out there, all the dudes, Texas guys, right, were able to go home. But I didn't have no home out there, so obviously I had to come back to California. You know, we wasn't in summer school, we wasn't in any football workouts, anything like that. It was just totally exit stuff at this point. You know what I'm saying? All the guys gone. So I ended up going home for about a week. And during that week, you know, I'm still unaware that, like, I'm going to the NFL. Like, this is about to be a good season. So during that week back home, you know, I'm still working out, everything good. Like, so it's not like I went home and like tricked everything off or anything. But I come back to school, and like I said, it was a totally different attitude coming from my coaching staff. And it was kind of like, man, I was real confused at the point. It was like, now we're talking about where we got his freshman coming, and I'm sharing reps with the freshman that he recruited and stuff like that. You know what I'm saying?
So it sounds like, man, it shifted into something personal now, you know, based on, you know, you slide in the DMs or whatever the case may be. So he just kind of, rather than, you know, approaching it just on some man shit, really, like having a conversation with you just to kind of clear the air or whatever, he just, I mean, pulled a power trip and just kind of took you off the map, like, so to speak.
Exactly. So it's like, man, I didn't know where, I was confused. Like, I don't know why this man started, like, you know, like, doing me like that, you know what I'm saying? Like, it was points where, like, I obviously was your go-to receiver in the spring and the fall. Like, fall is not there. Like, I'm sharing reps with dudes you bring in. So it automatically brought me back to just the whole business of college football. You know, like, I took it back to just me knowing, you know, I was able to understand, like, okay, this coach feels like he's going to recruit these four guys, his freshmen, and he's going to build this program that I just talked about. He's going to build this program. So he might even want these four guys to be fresh, All-American, conference All-American receivers for 4 years straight. Like, how does that look good, like, on his resume? Like, we our first year, we end up winning the conference championship. Like, the stuff was working, you know, and it was like, it was working. Like, all his offense, the conference wasn't ready for it. Like, that air raid offense, the conference had never seen it before. So it was like, man, I was like, it was going to be so good for me, you know what I'm saying? But it was still going to be good because, like, just the conference wasn't ready for that air raid offense, like I said. So it was a situation where I was just like, man, I just took it for what it was. Like, I feel like everything happened for a reason, you know? Like, I'm like, man, I understand, but I don't understand, and there's nothing I could do. I'm not going to sit here and bitch about it, cry about it, you know, like, make myself down. But I had a lot of tough days. Like, man, it was the first game, I believe. Like, I didn't even get out there. Like, I didn't even get out. I was on the bench the whole
game. So you weren't returning kicks no more or nothing?
Nothing. You know what I'm saying? So it was kind of like, it is what it is at this point. You know what I'm saying? Like, obviously, I'm going to practice the next day, trying to go at people's head, going on good practice film, you know what I'm saying, like that. But nothing was changing. So I'm like, I don't know what this is. Like, that's why I mentioned before, I felt like I hit the coach girl in the DM, because it was like,
basically, metaphorically, that's how it felt.
That's
okay,
how it
I
felt,
got you.
Know?
Yeah. Like, so basically, it was like, he made it, the way the energy shifted was as if, you know what I'm saying, you had done something that extreme for him to take it there.
Exactly. And a lot of things was going in my head, like, okay, this coach, he coached with my coach Mike Leach before at Washington State. Maybe he hit Mike Leach
and he kind of soured your name
Mike
or
Leach
something.
Bad mouth near, you know, something. Like, that was a lot of stuff in my head, but I wasn't able to, like, get it out, you know what I'm saying? So I just went the senior season, supported my teams, because, you know, obviously we became a brothers, you know, at this time. Like, so I'm not the type of person that's finna be just hating on everybody because I'm not playing, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I'm still supporting my team, you know, like, making them feel good about their wins and stuff. But, like, I just wasn't able to really feel good because I wasn't playing, you know what I'm saying? Like, I wasn't helping to that win. You know, I mean, obviously I did help preparing the team for the season, but like I wasn't able to like go out there and play with them and win with them, you know. So that was always a little feeling for me. But I just always took it in like, man, it's all good, you know, like I'm good. I'm winning right. Still, you know what I'm saying? Like I'm on this full scholarship. I'm about to get my college degree. And it's crazy because still at this time, like where I'm not playing, I end up getting a call from like Coach Yarbert, LA Rams receiver, you know, and he's telling me about like preparing for pro day, like he gonna send some scouts out there to pro day. And scouts did come out there, had a good pro day, you know, and I'm like, I'm just looking back like, man, like, I always took it back to like, damn, what if I didn't leave Washington State? Like NFL was always there. Like I feel like everything I did, I pushed myself right. away from the NFL, you know. So and to be able to do that, to be able to say you did it, I feel like that would feel a lot better than me.
Somebody
just saying,
else had
like,
control of it.
Exactly. Somebody else had control. And I'm sitting at this school at Washington State for 4 years and I don't get to play to my senior year. And it's because I didn't get enough film. The school didn't play me. You know what I'm saying? Like I was able to control why I didn't go to the NFL. And I like being able not to play my senior season and a coach still hitting me up, you know, like and still looking for me, like for pro day and stuff. But obviously it didn't work out because, you know, let's be realistic. I didn't play my senior season. So it got to Coach McVay, like he don't have enough senior film, you know, so I can't really evaluate him. So Yarbrough couldn't really
speak on you like
put
that,
me
right.
up there, you know. Exactly. So and I understand that stuff. So it was like it was all good to be like, man, it was still an option, you know, coaches still see the talent. Like I ain't gonna lie, I get out there today, still do the same thing, you know, but it's just like it was all the process, man. It was all the process and like it taught me a lot of things and I wanna teach the next group about it. I want to teach my kids about it. I want to teach my next right. youth about it, you know, because I was able to go through and it, you know, and knowing it. And if I would have had, you know, like just had the experience, I feel like I would have been a lot better. But obviously, like, I don't regret anything, you know, like
for a reason. And I think exactly. that, I mean, I think what gets lost in kids transferring and, you know, ending up kind of bouncing around from school to school is that, you know, sometimes people don't understand that comes when somebody decides to do that, when an athlete decides to leave a school, I mean, of course, they probably done exhausted every mentor and resource that they had to kind of get an idea of what that's going to look like. But it's really a matter of having your destiny in your own hands, regardless of what the outcome is. Because, like I said, I transferred and, you know, I went from a school where I never had a winning season. Mind you, I started in my career at Monticello. I started 6 games and through my own mistakes and my own lack of focus, you know, didn't start more than that. You know what I'm saying? Along with some injuries that kind of hindered my situation. But I went from a school where I never had a winning season to a school where I actually had playoff hopes. You know what I'm saying? I played in a bowl game. Right. But I was that old head that had all this experience but was sitting behind 2 sophomore All-Americans. So my situation drastically changed. But it was a humbling experience and I learned so much from it. And I don't regret it because at the end of the day, I made that choice. Nobody told me, like, hey, you should get out of here. You should transfer. No, nobody told me that. Nobody told me that. And then, you know, I even knew had I stayed where I was at, I either would have started or I would have been in the rotation hands down. I had been in that defense for 3 years. I knew the system. I knew the coach. I knew everything. And I knew what I had to do going into my senior season to improve. But, I mean, you know, ultimately we made those decisions for ourselves. So I think that, you know, understanding that, you know, you want to have control of your own destiny. And then, like you said, you still had NFL scouts hitting your line and encouraging you to do X, Y, Z so that you could have that shot and had that opportunity. But like you said, you know, unfortunately, you know, that didn't translate for you into an NFL opportunity. But you still took your experiences and you took your knowledge of the game and your ability to translate that, all that energy into creating your own brand and your own movement through Born Baller. So with once you kind of got it in your head that, you know, a professional opportunity was kind of like, you know, in the rear view mirror, and you decide to put all this energy in the Born Baller. I mean, where did that come from, and what kind of inspired you to put your energy into that rather than, you know, continue to pursue a pro opportunity?
Man, it's crazy because I feel like it was God's calling, you know? Like I feel like, you know, with this being said, like, Born Baller Academy, it was just one day, I swear, like, me and my partner, actually my roommate, he played receiver with me as well, you know, like, and I want to take it back, honestly. Like, going to the NFL, like, my goals of going to the NFL have always been just to go to the NFL and provide for my family, you know? And I always had that idea in my head, like, I want to get back to the youth, you know? So, me going to the NFL was going to be a way for me to show the youth, you know, how I got there and all the stuff I did to get there, how it was, you know, just my upcoming, you know? So, I always wanted to be able to share that with kids, you know? So, it's like, me starting Born Baller was just a way for me to, like, still do what I really want to do, you know? Like, I am this football player. I am this Division I athlete. I show a lot of people, different states, different places, you know, different parts of the world. Like, I could play ball, you know? This is what I'm good at. This is something I'm good at. Like, so my social background is kind of like a football player. I'm a football player. I've been playing football my whole life. So that's what I am, you know? So it's like, starting Born Baller was like, it was good for me because, you know, obviously, like, when dudes go to the league and stuff, they get their own brand and stuff like that. And they're just like, let's talk about, like, Kobe's and the LeBrons and the Jordans. Like, they all get their own brand, you know, but it's under – it. Obviously, you know, Kobe started at Nike, and then he was able to transfer to the Mamba sign, you know what I'm saying? LeBron started as Nike, and he able to transfer to LeBron sign and stuff like that. And by them doing that, them was showing them that they could be their own brand. Exactly. You know what I'm saying? They don't need a big corporation like a Adidas or a Nike or Under Armour to come sponsor them. And now they big time. You know what I'm saying? Like, these dudes are big time on their own. You know what I'm saying? They able to express themselves on their own. You know, so like, that was always in my back of my head. Like, when I was able to start Born Baller, like, my Born Baller logo is actually a picture of me and my partner, Philip Baptiste, scoring. When I scored in the end zone, we jumping up celebrating, you know what I'm saying? So, like, that was cool for me because I feel like that's you. You know, we celebrate, and that's me. You know, we celebrating, we Born Baller. That's, we all out here, you know what I'm saying? So, now with this, you know, my whole motive is to, you know, start training. You know, me and my partner, we train receivers. We train all. I'm training all positions, you know. But my partner is a receiver specialist, you know, because he feel like we play receiver, so we able to express receiver. We able to teach receiver to the full potential. Right. Like, he takes it as I haven't played offensive lineman, so I can't teach offensive lineman how to be good offensive lineman, you know. So we want to be able to show people and give people the training that they need, you know. Me being myself, I play quarterback. Play a little receiver, you know, so I got a little more. I could coach quarterbacks and receivers, you know, but obviously as time goes on, I'm looking to build a team, you know, build a team so we could get a good group of guys, you know, good with good experience and stuff like that, where we could show the youth how to get to there, and we could tell them all our upcomings and they actually believe it. Because, you know, growing up, we all had coaches that come a time where his coach ain't never played ball, you know what I'm saying? Or he wasn't really good at ball. He doesn't really understand, you know? Like, so I want to be able to show kids and let them be able to vibe and get relationships with dudes that actually played the game before and get coached by. And it's farther than just coaching football, you know? I want to be able to show these kids, like, how their lifestyle should be, what they shouldn't be doing to get to where they go to. I'm sure everybody knows, like, we could tell the youth, like, you know, I did that, you know what I'm saying, and it didn't work out, you know what I'm saying? So we able to show them, like,
before they go through the stuff they go through, we able to tell them what it's gonna be like, you know, and honestly to say that, you know. So with Born Baller, you know, we just starting this training, you know, we got a clothing brand out, and I got a lot of big things coming for that, you know. But the whole thing is just, man, giving back to this youth, man, giving back to the youth and just giving them away, you know, because it's bigger than just football. It's bigger than just playing football. And because honestly, like right now, I'm working at a juvenile house, you know, a juvenile jail, you know, and I'm able to see kids that didn't have no support, nothing at all, bad upcomings, you know, bad experiences with their families. They seeing stuff that grown men ain't even see, you know, and I'm able to learn from them, you know, because I'm able to relate to these kids in a way, because I've seen a lot of stuff that they seen, you know, or I've seen people that I know went through a lot of stuff that they went through, you know, and how they outcome turned, you know. So it helps me a lot, because like I said, I'm training Born Baller, I'm training kids that have high aspirations to go to Division I. You know, these kids have goals and they want to be something, even if they don't have the talent, you know what I'm saying, versus some kids that, a lot of these kids in this juvenile house have some good size on them, good talent, you know, they dunking, like, but they just have no goals, no guidance, nothing, you know what I'm saying? They have bad role models and stuff like that, just because the stuff that they see, you know, we see rappers on TV, you know, rappers in music videos, big guns, you know, big jewelry, big money, you know what I'm saying? That's what everybody want, you know what I'm saying? All these kids
that's
want.
The culture of Texas, like, that kind of differs from California, just in terms of, like, you know, when it comes to one certain material things. I mean, Texas is flashy jewelry, grills, cars, big rims, all of that, you know what I'm saying? So that's kind of the that's kind of the culture you in amongst the youth out there. And and being able to kind of see firsthand, being in that facility that you work in, kind of what these kids be kind of thinking about and what they kind of aspire to be.
Exactly. So, like, working with these kids is helping me able to expand with my brand, because, you know, with Born Baller, I just want to give the kids a way, you know what I'm saying? Like, teach them how to be a baller, you know what I'm saying? Born Baller, baller is not just having to be having all the fly clothes, five cars, guns, all that, you know. A baller is pure just having what you need to have in life, you know what I'm saying? Having that support, having, being able to support your family, you know what I'm saying? Being respectful to certain people, you know, like just doing more good than bad. Like that's what Born Baller is about, you know what I'm saying? Like just being positive, you know what I'm saying? And like giving these kids something to look at, really. But you know, a lot of stuff comes from just like you said, the guidance and stuff like that. So with Born Baller, I want to be able to show, develop a team, you know what I'm saying, where a good group of mentors, role models to promote this, you know. So that's what it is.
Now, you know, just hearing the passion behind you, you know, want to impact the youth in a positive way, and just how motivated you are to kind of influence the community, you know what I'm saying, and bring up these youth, not only athletically, but mentally, and just kind of develop them as best you can as men and young women, just through your training and through your brand. Do you ever still kind of ponder on, you know, still shooting your shot at playing pro ball? Because, I mean, you still young, you still, you know, in fairly solid shape to where, I mean, if you put in the time for, you know, a month or so, you know what I'm saying, and really focus on doing that, is that something you still kind of ponder on, or have you all the way just hung up your cleats and are just going to just focus on you building your brand and kind of being a mentor to the youth?
Man, that's crazy. every day, it's certain days, man, that jump up to me and it's like, man, I know I'm supposed to be playing football, playing NFL football. You know what I'm saying? Like, I still got it, like you said. But in a sense, it's like I look at it as, you know, like, everything happens for a reason, because, like, we obviously got to look at this time right now. You know, like, there is no NFL right now. And, like, what would I be doing if I was just – I was one of those people that I put my straight focus into football, where I'm working out every day, and I'm in the sense where I'm ready, you know what I'm saying? I'm ready to go play, but I can't right now, you know what I'm saying? There would be no way for me to go play football, so I would be sitting out, you know what I'm saying, like – just training and not getting paid, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I take that back to this is God's calling, like he's just preparing me, you know what I'm saying? Like, he's teaching me different things, you know, I'm growing and stuff like that. Like, and with this brand, like, of course I could still go play football, like, and, like, I ain't gonna lie, like, every day, like, every other day I'll be thinking, like, man, I'm finna just do what you said, work out for 2 months straight and, like, go pull up to a trial, you know, but it's just like I gotta be more realistic of like what it is. And like I love to play football again, like you said, but like I'm living in the moment right now, like taking whatever comes to me. You know, I'm still working out every day. So like you never know, man.
Ain't no doors closed.
If a tryout around the corner, I might have to pull up. I already know what's gonna happen at that point. I'm gonna do my thing.
Exactly.
Man. It's all good.
So then, you know, just with that in mind too, what kind of helped you make that transition, you know, going from the athlete you are into putting more of a mentorship hat on to kind of, you know, really be productive in your brand and productive in your training, like, because I mean, yeah, you still around the game, you still like you said, still working out and still training kids, but shifting that mindset from focusing on bettering yourself in the sport to now, you know, becoming a coach and a mentor, how is that transition for you?
Man, it's transition for me big, because like I said, I felt like with my senior year, how my coach did me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I feel like that played a big statement on my story, because it's like, I didn't go to the league because of the coach's control, you know what I'm saying? Like, and that's cool, because it's like, at that point, there's nothing you could do, you know what I'm saying? So I would want to be like that coach to prepare these kids to, like, don't let these coaches control, you know what I'm saying? Like, whatever you got to do, you got to do. Like, and I feel like, in a sense, if I would have sat down with my coach and sat down there and cried to him, you know what I'm saying, and really got out of him, like, why is he not playing me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm doing everything I need to do. Like, and just breaking him down to where the point where he got to give me a chance, you know what I'm saying? But with me, I got my own battles I go through. Like, I can't do that, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can't show this man that he's controlling me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I ain't nothing I could do, you know what I'm saying? So, like, that's just something that I got problems going through. But it's nothing wrong with it if I would have did that, you know what I'm saying? Because you never know what could have happened, you know? It's like, I want to be able to coach. I want to be able to be that better coach, for real, man. Like, and just show people that there's a way.
Right, and I think that's...
Because obviously, like I said, show kids there's a way. Because obviously, there was still a way. Like, like I said, I didn't play my whole senior season and still getting them calls from an NFL coach. You know, like, I honestly thought at that time it was over. You know what I'm saying? I didn't play my senior year. Like, it's over with. Like, just go ahead and graduate your degree.
Right.
You
know? No, because, I mean, it kind of humbles you, and it shows maturity, you know, for you to handle it that way. Because, I mean, a lot of times, you know, people would have taken it differently and kind of maybe even had a negative reaction to to dealing with that sort of adversity, being that it was your senior year and things like that. Because, I mean, I know from...
And would have messed around and quit, you know what I'm saying? And did everything and let this coach control them and control their emotions, and they quit at the last because they said, like, I'm not going to the NFL. I didn't play my senior year, so I'm just going to quit. Like, this is what I've been working for my whole life, just to go to the NFL. You know what I'm saying? And it's obvious that I'm not going to go because I didn't play my senior year, so I quit. I quit now. But I just quit for 1 year, like, fuck all this, everything that I just been through, you know what I'm saying? Like, I just, if I quit now, I'm putting on a degree. Like, I'm just basically, like, throwing everything away, in a sense, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I knew that's not nothing that I was going to do, you know what I'm saying? So, like, I was cool with that.
Exactly. Because, I mean, at the end of the day, you know, it was an experience, you know, and it was just something that was out of your control. But, I mean, you handled it well and was able to kind of just see the lessons in it and just use that, you know, to fuel what's happened to you after football. And, you know, just kind of with that being said, what's a few things, a few big points that you would leave to a high school kid that's about to transition into college, and a JUCO kid that might still be there grinding, who's looking forward to an opportunity to play at the next level as well?
Shoot. High school kid, you know, going to college, I would tell him, like, man, if you want it, you got to work for it, you know what I'm saying? And that's period, point blank. Like, whatever you put in is what you're going to get put out, you know? And that goes bigger than just playing football and working out every day and going to lift and I'm good.
Right.
No, it's bigger than that. You know what I'm saying? You're going to have to get to a certain, what are you doing around? Like, are you partying all night? You know what I'm saying? Like, are you drinking all the time with your friends? Because, you know, like, all that stuff plays a part in for real. Like, if you really want it, like you say you do, then you gonna have to go get it. And you gonna have to sacrifice a lot of things to go get it, because it's gonna be worth it at the end. You know what I'm saying? You gonna want that league check and them league. If that's what you want, then go get it, man. But don't tell me you want to go get it and you doing all this other stuff as well, because you don't want it. You know what I'm saying? So, like, that really plays a part in. For a JUCO kid, you know what I'm saying? I tell him, if you want it, don't quit. You know what I'm saying? Because, hey, it's a way, man. Like, with JUCO, like, a lot of kids get discouraged because they get these D2 offers, maybe, or, like, a low D1, you know what I'm saying? And they feel like it ain't that big time. Like, so they like, man, I'm not going to the NFL. Yeah, I don't want that, but no. Like, don't quit, man. Like, just go to it. Like, go to that school that you get. I only like them full scholarships, but, like, you know what I'm saying? I got my own little way of thinking when I think about paying for college and stuff like that. But, like, hey, if you got to pay for college and walk on, if you want it, don't quit. Like, you doing all these, take out them loans. If you want it, don't quit, because it's going to pay off at the end. Like, so just don't quit, man. But that's what it is, man. It's a lot of things that these kids need to know, like, that's just there for them, but it's good.
It's you know, and I mean, it's a lot of resources that kids can tap into, you know, that'll kind of help them maneuver through the college situation, whether that's like recruiting or learning about financial aid, which is big. I mean, I feel like, especially in our community, financial literacy isn't the biggest thing. It's not something that we always taught about. And, you know, some kids don't even know that it's free money out there for them. You know what I'm saying? That walk-on, you know, he might, if he's from California, he's staying in California. It's free money waiting on him. You know what I'm saying? You just got to keep them grades up. And that's in any state, you know. So I think when it comes to that, it's just a matter of, you know, parents know you gotta do your own research and kind of help guide your child in the right direction. I mean, you know, especially at that age, kids kind of feel like they can make their own decisions and stuff like that. But, you know, as parents, it's up to the parent to put the right information in front of them and then put that information in front of their kids so they make sure their kid is making a proper decision. So, you know, what's your our listeners could kind of tap in with you. You know, what's your social media? How can they get a hold of some baller apparel? And how can the San Antonio community reach out to you and kind of get some training in, get some apparel as well?
Oh, man, we already tapped in, man. So you can tap in on Instagram, Born Baller Academy, at Born Baller Academy. For the clothing, it's at Born Baller Locker. My fault. It's at Born Baller Locker for the clothing. And you know, man, we actually going on a 1 year.
1 year anniversary. Congrats, bro.
1 year anniversary, man. Yeah, so it's big. I'm about to go ahead and celebrate.
As you should. As you should.
Yeah, so, man, it's rocking, man. Born Baller going to be good real soon, man. So it's a working. But it's all, like I said, with my life. But if you want it, don't quit. Like, I got some big goals with this Born Baller. And I plan on making it all happen. And I know it's going to take some time, but I ain't going to quit. And if I want it, I got to put everything right into it. So, man, it's gonna be good, man. So, I just want to keep it going.
So, y'all, man, y'all heard him. Born Baller Locker. Go support it. If you in the San Antonio area, tap in. Get your workout. Be a full supporter. I mean, you know, it's plenty of parents out there that are seeking proper guidance for their young athlete, you know, not just, you know, to develop them athletically, but to help them develop mentally and spiritually as young men and young women, you know, and to also get the proper work. Because we all know there's trainers out there that they put out a lot of fluff and they're not really, you know, teaching the proper thing to these kids and they just taking your money. So you want to make sure that you tap in with somebody that's going to give your kid adequate work. And they're going to actually learn, so I'm going to be able to translate that into their everyday lives. So, you know, go ahead and tap in with Zaire on his Born Baller page on Instagram. Reach out to him, support, purchase some product, purchase some sessions. You know, we gonna leave y'all with some encouragement. You know, be inspired during this time that we dealing with this pandemic. You know, don't take this time to kind of just sit on your ass and be lazy. You know what I'm saying? Stay productive. Pick up some new habits, some new positive habits. Pick up a book. Do something and reach out to people that you ain't talked to in a while. Because, I mean, even your strongest soldier needs some love. You know what I'm saying? So make sure y'all are doing that. Zaire, we appreciate you taking the time to hop on here and kind of give us your story and how you kind of maneuver through the adversity that you face. And we know our listeners are gonna be able to relate. I mean, you know, we all got guys that are playing high school ball, playing JUCO, and just kind of need that encouragement to see their way through, because it is tough. You know, like you said, it's different battles at different levels, you know what I'm saying, that you gotta overcome. So, you know, you made some really good references to some things that you dealt with that I'm sure a lot of our kids and our listeners have either dealt with, are going through right now, or kind of have a similar testimony as yours. So we appreciate you chopping it up and kind of giving some insights to what you went through.
No problem. You already know, man. Better yourself. And I appreciate that. Best for reaching out, man.
You already know what it is.
Good talk. You already know.
So we gonna go ahead and wrap this up. Y'all stay safe. You know what I'm saying? Stay encouraged and be great. You know, like I said, Born Baller. Get your thing done.